If you would like these traditional Latin Mass homilies broadcast to a wider audience, please rank Padre Peregrino at 5 stars on iTunes. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You've probably heard the story of the little girl who was in line with her mother at the dollar store and found a necklace of pearls, and her mother bought it for her because she was staring at them. And so she brought these home, and she just always wanted to have these fake pearls on her. And this little 5-year-old girl, we'll call her Jenny, was so in love with these pearls, her dad decided to do a little test. And so he would come into her room at night, and he would say, "Jenny, would you please give me those pearls?" And she kind of got nervous and said, "No, but Dad, you can have my princess." And he said, "That's okay. I love you. Good night." And the next day he would come in and say, "Jenny, would you give me your pearls?" And she would say, get a little bit nervous and say, "No, Daddy, but you can have my horsey. You can have my horsey. You know how much I love him." And her dad, of course, said, "That's okay, honey. I love you. Good night." Well, this went on for a little while. And then he came in, and here she is sitting on her bed, chin trembling, a little bit nervous, head down and sad. And he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Here, these are for you, Daddy." And she hands her pearls over to him. And this whole time he had a little case in his pocket that he opened and then put around her neck real pearls. And the reason I love this story is it reminds me of something that the Apostle Paul says. He says, "I seek not the things that are yours, but you." That's 2 Corinthians 12:14. "I seek not the things that are yours, but you." Those of you who are in the Wednesday night class with us, you remember that the difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract is an exchange of things for things. A covenant is a life for a life. A covenant is a life for a life. And we're going to see what this has to do with the gospel in just a minute. Because the question today is, how do we offer our lives to God? And Jesus actually answers that in a way that you may have missed in the gospel. So what happens in the gospel? Well, a lot of the times the Pharisees are not too witty when they come and try to entrap Jesus, but today they're extremely witty in having him in a trap, because what they do is they come with the Herodians, and these are the people that are in cahoots with both the Jews and the Romans. So they bring them, and what the goal is this: they want to trap Jesus in an answer. They're going to ask him, "Do you pay taxes? Should you pay taxes?" And it really is the perfect trap for Jesus, at least from a human point of view. Because if Jesus says, "Yes, you pay taxes," then he's admitting Israel should not be a sovereign state and Israel should be under the power of the Roman government, and then it dashes people's idea that he's actually a Messiah. But if he says, "No, you shouldn't pay taxes," then he becomes a revolutionary against the Roman Empire, and there's all the reason in the world to crucify him. And so they think they have him. They think they have Jesus by the neck on this one. And his answer, not that he needs my compliment as God, but it's a brilliant answer. Because this is what he says. He says, "Show me a coin," and they show him a coin. And he says, "Whose image and superscription is on that coin?" And they say, "Caesar's." And his answer is, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God." To belong to God, rather. Okay, what does he mean by the things that belong to God? Well, if you're thinking biblically, when you heard that word image, it should have teed off something in your head, image and likeness of God. So when you hear that term image, what Jesus is speaking of is the coin belongs to Caesar, but that which is made in the image and likeness of God belongs to God. That's all of you. That's me. Because you're made in the image and likeness of God, you belong to God. And you know, in this time when we're just so wrapped up in politics, this is Jesus' answer for every one of us who's so wrapped up into politics, is that your soul being given back to God is more important. I'm not saying who you vote for is not important. Of course it is. But this is how Jesus himself in Matthew 22, today, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, this is how Jesus deals with politics. He pushes it aside and says, "Your soul is more important." You see why the pearl story, even if you thought that pearl story was a little corny, this is what Fulton Sheen teaches about the Mass. He says that when you approach the offertory at the Mass, what you do, this is when I take the chalice veil off, you should be leaving your whole life up there. And what happens when you leave your life on the altar? Fulton Sheen says this, there's a certain death to yourself. And what happens? 10 minutes later in the Holy Mass, you receive Holy Communion, which is the living body and blood of Jesus. So what happens is this. In the offertory, you should say, Jesus, I'm going to give you a prayer in a minute. I give you everything I am, everything I have, everything I'm called to be. I lay it on this altar. And there should be a certain death to yourself because you're sacrificing your will. See, we call it the sacrifice of the Mass not just because God the Son offers himself to God the Father, but because the mystical body of Christ, that's you, is joined to the sacrifice, dies with Jesus, and then you receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. See how that ties into the pearl story? We give over our lame little lives and our wills, and what do we get back in return? Divine life. This is what actually happens. Let's talk about three ways to offer our lives, starting at the top with Mass. We offer our lives at the Mass, especially in the offertory. And I think the offertory is the most underrated part of the Mass. Maybe some of you have read the private revelation of Catalina Rivas, and it only happened about 5 or 10 years ago. Mary walks this South American woman through everything that happens at the Mass. And it's really, you'll never approach the Mass again if you just Google this, because you really see how when the priest lifts the sacrifice, she's able to see Jesus on the cross behind him. Mary, the one who's walking Catalina through this Mass, is on her knees. That really shows why we should be kneeling at this point, that even Mary, the Mother of God, the sinless Mother of God, is kneeling during this part of the Mass. But one of the things that Mary shows is the offertory. And I'm going to read you the prayer that Mary gave Catalina Rivas. You can Google it later if you want, but just listen to this. "Pray like this," Mary said, "and I repeat it after her," says Catalina. "Lord, I offer all that I am, all that I have, all that I can do. I put everything into your hands. Build it up, Lord, with the little thing that I am. By the merits of your Son, transform me, God Almighty. I petition you for my family, for my benefactors, for each member of our apostolate, for all the people who fight against us, for those who commend themselves to my poor prayers. Teach me to lay down my heart as if on the ground before them, so that their walk may be less severe." And then Mary adds, "This is how the saints prayed. This is how I want all of you to do it." So you see what Fulton Sheen meant, that in the offertory, we lay our will down on the altar. When you see me take the chalice veil off, you should be praying that prayer. Jesus, I give you all that I am, all that I have, all that I can be. Is that anything on its own? No. But when you add at the end of that prayer, and I unite it with the merits of the passion and death and resurrection of Jesus, then it's not just the holy sacrifice that is lifted up to God the Father. It's your whole life with the holy sacrifice lifted up to God the Father. But we have to sacrifice our will at the offertory, as well as all of our hopes, our dreams, our sufferings. Think of these things. It's actually extremely personal. Because when you don't just, you know, sit back and kind of zone out in the offertory, if you make that an intense part of the Mass, when you lay down your will, your hopes, your dreams, when I take that chalice veil off, if you pray, Jesus, I give you all that I am, all that I have, all that I can be, and you die to yourself, what you receive is not the dead body of Christ 10 minutes later. You receive the living body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus 10 minutes later. But to live, we must first die. The second way I want to mention of three ways that we can offer our lives is adoration. A parishioner texted me with an interest in starting some perpetual adoration, and I texted him back, interest is different from commitment. Now, I know a lot of people here actually already go to adoration at their own parishes that are closer, and I love the fact how far people drive to come to us. But I am going to try this. We're going to try to do Fridays all day adoration. I'm going to expose the Blessed Sacrament here, and I have a sign up in the back, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m. And what that would look like is basically following our morning mass, we have adoration until I finish confessions at 6 p.m. Now, I heard a talk recently from a priest. I'm going to steal something he said. He was showing the importance of time. And this is what he said. He said, how many of you, if you found out you had end-stage renal failure, would go to dialysis? How many of you would do 6 hours a day times 3 days a week? That would come to 18 hours a week if you found out you needed dialysis. Okay, a lot of us would. Think of how many people in America will go to 18 hours a week of dialysis to save their bodies. Can you give 1 hour in adoration? I don't mean that just to prod you into guilt at all. I just want us to think for a minute contemplatively about the power of this. Now, a lot of people do the 9-to-5, but a lot of people in this parish do not do the 9-to-5 thing who might be able to come over here. But the point is this, that Fulton Sheen says, anyone who receives the body of Christ without making an offering becomes a parasite on the body of Christ. I'm not saying that's anybody here, because I know you're all extremely generous, and I think the average number of kids in this parish is 10, so that's extremely difficult to bring everybody over and everything. And I know you're already doing a ton for the gospel. However, we just have to think of that to say, how could I offer my life at even the next level? Could I find time to come over for 1 hour? Because my personal belief is this is the number one way we could grow this parish, is if we came and adored our Lord in the monstrance all day on Friday. You know, when I hand this parish back over to Father Van in 11 months, that's my dream, is to hand over a bigger parish. If I hand over a smaller parish, he's going to say, what were you doing when I was there? But I want to hand over to him a bigger parish, you know? Okay, third thing is the daily offering, and this is pretty basic. I bet a lot of you already pray this. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all the... Oh, I'm mixing the two prayers. Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day in reparation for my sins, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the intentions of our associates, and then there's some different ways to end it. But that prayer is so important, because I think most of you who are at this Mass understand that we... That phrase, offered up, that if you're suffering, you can offer that up for souls. Probably most of you get that, but I think sometimes in my life I've gotten in this habit where if I'm suffering, I think, should I just kind of narcissistically be thinking of my suffering all day to offer it for this, to offer it for this, to offer it for this? I shouldn't say that's narcissistic, because there were saints who did that. But I like to suggest this. The one morning offering is probably enough for all the suffering in your life. One morning offering said from your heart, God will take all of that and he will use that and he will join it. Remember Colossians 1:24, I make up what is wanting in the sufferings of Christ in my body for the sake of the church. When I actually unite myself to Jesus once a day, he can take all of my hopes, my dreams, my sufferings, and then I'm offering my life to him. One of the things, too, is this. I just want to finish on a couple notes on Mary. Why do we offer our whole life to Jesus through Mary? Is it just devotional? Is it just sweet or what? This is how St. Louis de Montfort puts it. God the Father gave his everything, God the Son, through Mary. And St. Louis de Montfort just makes a very simple argument. Should we not do the same in return through Mary's hands? If it's good enough for God the Father to give his only Son through Mary, maybe we should give our lives back through Mary. This includes, according to St. Louis de Montfort, our interior and spiritual goods, which are our merits and our virtues and our good works, past, present, and future. Now, merit is an interesting word. We don't like to talk about merit very much because it throws Protestants off. Because if you talk about your merit, Protestants will often say, I don't have any merit. I only have the merits of Jesus that he gives me at the cross. Now, let's back up as Catholics. What is the teaching of the Catholic Church? Can I make it to heaven on my own with my good works, all the good works in the world? Answer is, of course, no. I can only enter heaven by the once for all sufficient sacrifice of Jesus, the only thing that can bridge the gap between me, a sinful person, and God Almighty, is the cross, is the precious blood of Jesus. No amount of good works I can do can bridge that. However, even the Apostle Paul, listen to 1 Corinthians 15:41. The Apostle Paul says, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Now, I won't explain what's in verse 1 to 40, but you can go look. It's basically a whole chapter on the resurrection of the body. It's a whole chapter on heaven. And so when he says there's different levels of glory, as a star differs from a moon, what he's saying is there's going to be different levels of glory in heaven. And that is where our merit comes in. This is where our merit comes in. Of course, I should also say, for salvation to be realized, we must cooperate. And that's where our good works are necessary to salvation too. But today I want to highlight the fact that merit is so important for our level of glory in heaven. And this is why we should offer everything, maybe not thinking constantly about only our own intentions. Maybe we should offer all of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings entirely every day to Jesus through Mary. And here's why we do that. Here's why we don't get kind of like nickel and diming God to death on this. If we give everything to Mary, she will use our sufferings at that moment for the person who needs it most in the world. Let's say someone's dying in China, and you made a good morning offering, and you have appendicitis, or you're giving birth to another baby. And you think, well, if I give this to Mary, I would be taking it away from my cousin who's in prison right now. No, no, no. Here's why you give it to Mary. She will use that suffering for the person dying in China, but then she will take the merits of all the people across the globe who've also consecrated themselves to Mary, and she'll apply it when your cousin in prison most needs it. This is why we don't have to just rack our brains with what we're making our offering for. This is why we don't have to nickel and dime God to death. We can make just one offering of our lives. Now, we should still pray. I'm not saying don't pray for specific people and offer specific things in your life, because that's very powerful. This is what Father Gately says. In regard to others, when we fully consecrate ourselves to Mary, we lose the unconditional right to distribute the value of our prayers and good actions to others. In other words, we give the rights to the grace of our prayers to Mary. We're telling her, Mary, I give you the right to distribute the grace of my prayers as you see fit. Making such a gift to Mary has a big benefit. It ensures that the grace of our prayers will be used in the best way possible. And if you want a more ancient proof of this, listen to St. Louis de Montfort. We'll finish almost with this. It is as if a peasant wishing to gain the friendship and benevolence of the king went to the queen and presented her with a fruit which was his whole revenue, in order that she might present it to the king. The queen, having accepted the poor little offering from the peasant, would place the fruit on a large and beautiful dish of gold, and so, on the peasant's behalf, would present it to the king. Then the fruit, however unworthy in itself to be a king's present, would become worthy of his majesty because of the dish of gold on which it rested and the person who presented it. This is why we offer our lives through merit. My life that I offer is a rotten little piece of fruit, but Mary puts it on this gold plate of all the merits of her life, and she presents it to Jesus. This is why there's this beautiful exchange of merit. So I'm going to encourage you, if you can, sign up for an hour in the back. If you can't, it's okay. But just remember this, that we are called not just to be Catholics who know the faith. Romans 12 says we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Offer our bodies as living sacrifices. So let us give our whole lives, not just Sundays, to Jesus through Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.